Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio. Now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am your co-host, Walter Duraglia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Chris!
Walter, how are you today?
I'm doing great today, Chris. Yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, it's Wednesday. It's a beautiful day out today.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous out. And, you know, no matter what kind of weather you like, it's always gorgeous. Because you know why? It's the comic book day today.
You know what? Any weather is comic book weather.
That's right.
The way
that's
I
right.
look at it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we're getting at here.
Neither right sleet nor slow. Snow.
Slow.
Slow.
Doesn't matter how slow you are, how much will be
nor rain nor shine, nothing will keep me from my. I can't.
The comic books.
Comic
there
books.
There you go.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Chris. As we do every week, we're going to start this week with highlighting some of the new stuff hitting the shelf today.
Yes.
And I'm going to start with Brightest Day number zero.
Hold on. You're starting with DC this time.
Yeah. Why not?
Oh, crazy.
Living on the edge.
Wow. Okay. It's nuts. All right.
So, obviously, the Darkest Night, or the Blackest Night, sorry. Black, isn't that Batman? Who was he?
He was the Dark Knight.
Dark Knight,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He was not the Blackest Knight.
Right. It's over.
Right.
And this number zero is the primer, the lead-in to, of course, the big new event of Brightest Day.
Right. And, of course, for those of you who aren't as up on comic books as we are, perhaps, this is, of course, the giant Green Lantern event that has been going on for a number of months now. And, of course, this will ultimately culminate into the Green Lantern movie coming out in a few months, maybe a year from now.
Yes.
That has Ryan Reynolds as...
Ryan Reynolds.
Playing the role of Hal Jordan.
Yes.
The Emerald Avenger.
The Emerald Avenger.
Yes.
Okay. So, also from DC, while we're sticking with it now, is Fables number 94.
Crazy. Fables is a great book. You know,
yeah.
I unfortunately haven't read the last few issues, but I've always loved it. Fables, of course, for those of you who don't know much about it, is all about what if, like, fable characters such as Snow White and Little Red Riding Hood and those kind of characters, what if they're all living in today's world kind of under disguise?
Yes. And all the non-human fables live up in the farm in upstate New York.
Yes. So all the characters like the Three Little Pigs
yes.
and that kind of thing, they'll live in this area known as the Farm.
The Farm. Now, I'm like you. I mean, I read the early trades, and I really enjoyed them, but I haven't been up on Fables lately, and it was nice to see. It's up to 94. That's going to be 100 issues.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome, yeah.
I know. Graphic novel from DC today, Jonah Hex, Six Gun War, the trade paperback comes out today, of course, leading up to the Jonah Hex movie, too.
Yes, and you know, that's awesome, the fact that Jonah Hex is still viable. It's still doing very well. I know there was a bit of a relaunch there when Jimmy Palmiotti was taking over doing the writing chores on it.
Yep.
And you know what? Solid character. I've always liked Jonah Hex, sort of that regular, justice kind of must be done sort of thing. And always liked the character.
Justice must be done.
Yes.
Do
you like that?
Yeah, I loved it. I think that's the title of their next trade paperback. Jonah Hex, Justice Must Be Done. Okay. On the Marvel side, check this out. A Troika. Or Troika, is that the way to say it?
Troika? Troika, yeah.
Like three of something?
Yeah.
Troika?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
I'm not really too sure, but sure.
Okay. Siege, Captain America, Siege, Loki, and Siege, Young Avengers, number one.
Cool.
All hitting the stands today for everybody that can't get enough of the Siege event.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you've been reading Siege. Sentry.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Don't listen if you're a big fan.
Sentry kills, like, Ares.
Yes.
And he rips them apart and stuff
that.
And,
of course, Ares is the god of war, in case for those of you who weren't too sure who he is. Yeah.
So, I mean, that was really kind of a graphic event that happened in the last Siege
issue. Well, these are graphic novels. Hey, I got a million of them.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a long show, folks. I'm going to have another drink. Okay, anyway, Siege is getting a lot of press.
Yes.
Siege is a big event, and Marvel is obviously, as they always do, capitalizing on their events with what do you call these things? What are these issues?
These are called offshoots,
tie-ins.
Yeah.
And Marvel's really good at that.
They are very good. You know, especially remember with the Secret War, they had all kinds of offshoots.
Secret Invasion.
So you know everything that was happening.
And I think you might be thinking Civil War.
Civil War? There was a Civil War, but then, no, there was
Secret
a...
Secret War,
there was
okay.
a Secret War.
Yeah, you're right. Before that was
Civil War. Before that was Secret War, yeah, okay. I'm not, you know, going crazy here.
And then there was, before that was the Not-So-Secret War.
That's right. Okay, you know what? All I'm saying is that there was a Secret War, all right? It was a four-issue miniseries. Do you not remember that one?
Of course I remember, but it was secret, so I didn't find out about it. until lately. All right, until the declassification of the papers. Chris, Walt Disney's comics and stories, number 705, hits the stands today.
You know, that's insane.
Yeah.
705.
That it's still going.
That's like, you know, some of the only other comics that have been around for that long are like Batman and Action Comics and
Detective.
Yeah, I know. It's
craziness. Walt Disney's comics and stories goes back, I think, into 1940, maybe?
Yeah,
39, 40?
Yeah, I think I thought it was more like 44, but yeah, it's about...
Well, the title itself may be 44, but...
Okay.
Like the... The Donald Ducks, the Four Color.
Before they
actually launched Walt Disney's Comics and Stories, guys like Mickey and Donald were appearing in the early Four Color issues.
Yes.
And I think those were around 40, 41.
Okay, fair enough. I'll let you have that one.
Walt Disney's Comics and Stories in the stands today. And Chris, as always, this is just a smattering.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's like dozens of different comics coming out every Wednesday.
A plethora,
if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
And you should check your local comic shop today or tomorrow or the weekend and support your local comic shop and check it out.
And you know, but just before we go on, I do have to say that the titles you've chosen to talk about today... I like the titles because you've got the first one we talked about was Green Lantern. That's your typical superhero, right?
Yes.
Then we've got Fables, which is not at all superhero.
Yes.
It's sort of like this
fantasy
kind of thing. And then you've got a Western.
Yes.
And then you've got some more superheroes. And then you've got kids' books. You
Funny
know what?
Animals,
so,
yes.
so like really, there really is something for everybody in the comic book realm.
Thinking, Chris. I'm always thinking.
I have a feeling that was completely coincidental, but you know.
It might have been.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Chris, your favorite part of the show, and some listeners
have
emailed us saying they like industry news.
We have listeners?
Yes, we do.
Really?
Yes,
it must be do. People who can't reach the station channel.
No. And they love our industry news. And I did my best. It was a slow news day.
Okay.
A slow news week so far. But I've come up with a few gems. Did you know that Marvel has signed with Hatchet for book distribution? So Marvel had a 5-year contract with Diamond for Diamond to be their exclusive distributor.
Right.
That included specialty shops and the chains, like Barnes and Nobles and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that 5 years, I guess, was up. And now Marvel has re-signed. Diamond keeps the specialty shop.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
And they're going with Hatchet to distribute their books to the big chains.
Oh, really?
Bookstores.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, now I don't know if Marvel is, you know, you never know with Marvel, right?
Yeah.
They're in the industry. They're considered, rightly or wrongly, they're considered the non-friendly company to the store.
That's true.
DC has always been considered the company that you know, is behind the specialty shops and does a lot.
And that's been, you know what, that's been like that for 20 years.
Yeah,
like I remember years ago, DC would always do promos for stores and try to help you out a little bit.
Well, they have the co-op thing for advertising.
And they're always like that. Yeah. Whereas Marvel, not so much. In fact, Marvel was one of the first real distributor producers, I should say, that wanted to go independent. They tried to go independent and have their own distribution system years ago in the 80s. Unfortunately, that flopped. They didn't run it very well. But they're really just trying to see how much money they can get for themselves, which rightly so is what a business is supposed to do. However, I think sometimes they forget who their bread and butter are, that being the specialty shops.
Yes.
And yes. I think they need to start remembering that. But who knows what's going to happen. Maybe.
And, you know, I mean, it's... neither here nor there. Yep. But you know, the specialty shops were the instrument, were the places that brought comics to where they are, right?
Right.
It wasn't comics being purchased at local variety stores. It was not comics being purchased in the supermarkets.
No.
It was comics being purchased in specialty shops over the last, yeah, I will say, 30 years now. Easy 35, maybe.
Yeah, you know what?
But a solid 30 for sure.
You know, it's, I keep forgetting that we're in 2010 now.
Yeah.
And I was working at a comic book store in 1978.
Yep.
So they were at least around since then, and that's a good 22 years ago. So, yep.
That would be 32 years.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Yeah, you're right. 32. Yes. Wow, I'm old.
You are old.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Anyway, now Chris is putting his calculator away. we're going to go on. Chris, there was talk that Sam Mendes was going to direct a movie, The Preacher.
Okay, cool.
Now, The Preacher being that Vertigo book from DC,
right,
very kind of graphic.
Yes.
Now, the word is that he's off the project, and he's going to direct the new Bond movie.
Oh, okay, instead. Okay, right.
Which, well, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, and that's a shame, too, because really, for anybody that's ever read The Preacher, the storytelling is done very cinematic. Lee, I guess you could say, very cinematically. Like,
right.
You know, when you're reading a Preacher graphic novel, I feel like I'm really watching the movie. Like it's sweeping, it's vast, it has all these great characters to it, and I've thought, man, this would make a great movie.
Yeah. Well, like the producers are still behind the movie, and they're now looking for a director, so it's still going to come online,
right,
and stuff. But I guess the Sam Mendes guy is now off the project. So.
Well, you know, I suppose the chance to do some sort of like an established licensed character like James Bond, which has been around for 50 years,
right?
Or to do a brand new thing that, you know, maybe have a little bit of expectations and that kind of thing.
Yep.
Like maybe it might be more fun.
Fair enough. Now, speaking of brand new thing, this weekend.
Sorry, I just knocked over the microphone. Sorry.
It's okay. All right. Kick Ass, the movie, hits the cinemas, I guess, hits the movie theaters this Friday.
Yeah, that's right,
And it's getting, checked around on the internet, it's getting good vibes, it's getting a good buzz.
Yep.
But it remains to be seen. Now, it's tricky, okay, because comic people, the comic community in general is pretty savvy.
Yeah.
And this is an extremely violent kind of anti-hero type.
Yeah,
movie,
yeah, it really is an anti-hero
book,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the way I guess they're advertising it, I won't say that the way it's being perceived by the mass public, I think it's going to be a bit of a culture shock when they go see this.
Yeah,
movie,
you know,
right?
I've seen the ads for it, and it's really made to look like it's a sort of like a really comic booky kind of, you know, fun.
Yeah.
Like let's see those teenagers go out and kick ass, you know.
Yeah.
And it really isn't going to be like that at all.
No, it's nasty, but I think it's going to appeal to the hip trendy.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I think there's going to be a certain market that is going to go and watch that movie, not expect what they get, but still really like it.
Really like it.
Yeah.
Now I've seen I don't know if you've seen the clips. I've seen the clips where the little girl, I forget the character's name, but her dad is training her how to take a bullet.
Yeah.
And it's Nicolas Cage. And it's a really funny scene. Right?
Yeah.
It's like he shoots her in the chest with her bulletproof vest. She's knocked down and she goes, "Dad, can we go for ice cream or something like that?" And he goes, "Just three more times, baby. Just, honey, just three more times," or something like that. It was very funny.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It's getting a lot of great reviews. And you know, one of the good things about this movie that I've already been noticing is that it's appealing to both males and female audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And from ages, from people that are, you know, our age, as well as, you know, a younger generation as well. So it looks like it might really capture something here.
I hope so. Hey, Chris, free comic book day.
Oh, yeah, it's coming up.
We should mention it.
Yeah.
We're going to mention it for the next three shows.
Yes.
To get all the listeners motivated to head out to their local store on Saturday, May 1st.
Yep.
For free comic book day.
Well, and you know what? This is, like, what a better way to get interested into comic books or get to see what it's all about, you get to go to a comic book store and you literally walk in, you pick up a comic, and you're allowed to leave with that comic in your hand without paying for anything. For free.
Now
some stores even offer more than one
comic. Yeah, you'll get three or five or unlimited some. But now, what people, maybe some people don't know, is that these are not, you know, old comics that are unsold and they can't give away and stuff. These comics are specifically created by the publishers for this day. A lot of thought goes into Free Comic Book Day at places like Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, Dynamite, you name it, you know, Drawing Quarterly.
So this isn't just like, you know, hey, this is a chance for the stores to get rid of their dead stock kind of thing. This is a huge, huge promotion where the major publishers of the comic book industry get together and they create brand new comics just for Comic Book Day, Free Comic Book Day.
And hoping to get new readers.
Hoping to get new readers. Mm-hmm. And so the stories that you're reading are timely, they're new, and they're fun by the newest artists and writers and creators. So you're not getting something that you're going to be reading from like 1974, not knowing what's going on.
Right.
These are brand new stories. For the most part, they're all brand new. I think sometimes
you get
a company that may have just reprinted a story, but it is still fairly timely. There's something that was reprinted from like a year ago or something like that.
Well, I know Marvel has something tied into the Iron Man movie, which is coming out. I believe the weekend after, I think.
Yeah, it's soon. The 6th or 7th or something,
Of May. So that's tied in. You know, and Archie this year is going to be popular giveaway because Archie had a great year with all that wedding stuff.
Well, and you know what's really great is that not just the big companies are doing this. Like, you know, I know that Dark Horse usually puts out a Star Wars comic.
Yes. Oni is doing something this year.
But even like the little ones, like Drawn and Quarterly, Kitchen Sink? They're not around anymore. Drawn and Quarterly. There's Fantagraphics.
Books
that people can get involved in sort of alternative comics and seeing what is out there besides just the usual sort of superhero stuff. So it really is a great opportunity to go out there and see what's involved in comic books these days.
Chris, speaking of Drawn and Quarterly.
Yes.
And Top Shelf, we forgot to mention Top Shelf.
Oh, right, yes.
Is TCAF is happening. And now that we've got our Free Comic Book Day plug in.
Yeah.
TCAF is... Oh, by the way, before we leave Free Comic Book Day, I'll mention more Southern Ontario stores as I get information, but... so far, Silver Snail in Toronto has the creative team for Kill Shakespeare.
Which, cool.
I believe the first issue is coming out today.
Cool.
They'll be at the Snail doing the signings. And Big B in Hamilton has Greg Hyland at our store.
Oh, very good.
He's the Lego artist, and he does Lethargic Lad.
He does Lethargic Lad, and he does a lot of artwork for a lot of the Lego comic books.
Yes. And artwork for Lego boxes.
And boxes and things like that,
And then next week and the week after, we'll hit more stores, and if they have any creative signings.
And you know what's really, just very quickly to interject here, you know, Greg will... draw pictures of like your favorite character as done as if they were a Lego stick person type thing,
right.
You know, Lego toy. So it's kind of cool to see, you know,
Power Girl or
Batman or whatever as a Lego person, right? So it's very cool.
All right, hey, let's jump over to TCAF and we'll go into some guests now.
Okay, hold on. But before you continue on, for those of you who don't know what TCAF is...
Mean everybody doesn't know what TCAF is?
I know it's hard to believe, but not all of our listeners know that TCAF is, of course, TCAF, which is an abbreviation for the Toronto Comics Arts Festival.
Right.
And that is put on usually by a store called The Beguiling in Toronto.
Great store.
And it's a great store. Great store for alternative... underground comics, all kinds of different types of comics and graphic medium type stuff. And they put on a show. It used to be once every 2 years, and now it's almost once every year.
Yeah, and they partner with the Toronto Public Library.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe the show is at the main Yonge Street branch of the library.
Right, so you get to go there and you get to meet all kinds of creators who are, you know, not only local creators, but for the most part, these are guys that are not part of the major... major publishers. Marvel, DC. Yeah. These are guys that are sort of doing their own thing. Maybe they're publishing independently. Maybe they're being published by sort of a small underground kind of comic publisher. But there's all kinds of fantastic different styles of artists out there. And you really got to go check it out.
Yeah. Now, it's also free.
Yeah.
To get in.
Yeah,
which it's free. You can't beat the price.
No, okay. It's great. And you know what? And the thing about that's great about TCAF is that it's not just a meet and greet type thing. Usually they have like events going on at night where there's demonstrations of artwork, or there's I remember a few years ago they had a thing where they would talk about how to do kids comics.
Yes.
You know, or you could go to a bar and you could see cartoons made by certain celebrities that were happy to be at the show. Like it's more going on than just, you know, going up and getting an autograph.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure of their exact website. If you Google Toronto Comic Arts Festival, I think it's TorontoComics.com/TCAF, but just again, just Google Toronto Comic Arts Festival and it'll take you to their site.
Or you could also go to thebeguiling.com.
Yeah, beguiling.
Don't ask me how to spell that. I have no idea. Beguiling.
Right.
Yeah.
A few of the Daniel Close.
Dan Klaus.
For Drawn and Quarterly. He'll be there.
He's going to be there. Now, for those of you who aren't too familiar with his name, he is the artist of 8-Ball, and he's done a lot of work in the Underground series. He also did Ghost World.
They turned that into a movie,
That into a movie, and that stars both Thora Birch, who's not quite as well known. Uh-huh. However, it also stars Scarlett Johansson.
Oh.
Yeah, who is very well known now. So... great, and it's got that guy. Ah, oh, geez, what's his name? He's in the Adam Sandler movies. He's that weird guy.
Okay, Paul Pope will be there as well.
Paul Pope again is a great underground artist. He did. He's a Batman comic. He did 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Didn't he do something called Heavy something?
Heavy Liquid. Yeah.
And he did Batman Year 100.
Batman Year 100, yep. So he's been around for quite a while, and he's another great artist. And one of the things I love about Paul Pope, he draws people getting a black eye like no other.
Nice.
I don't know what it is about his artwork, but great, great art. You know, another artist that's coming is Jeff Lemire. For those of you who aren't too sure about who he is a Malter Eisner, Schuster, Doug Wright,
he's
and Harvey.
He's also a multi-Eisner.
Multi-Eisner, award winner. He's the author of Essex County Trilogy.
Yeah, he's a Canadian boy.
Yeah.
That Essex County does well at the shop. It's kind of a coming of age thing in southwestern Ontario.
He's a great, great artist.
James Strum.
James Strum is coming from
Drawn and Quarterly. Will be there.
Yeah, that's right.
And
Charles Vess is going to be there.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what, Charles Vess, like that is, here's a guy, I remember meeting Charles Vess 20 years ago when he was doing a lot of work for Marvel. He did, he happened to be doing the Warriors 3 comic in the Marvel Fanfare comic. Do you remember Marvel Fanfare?
Oh, I do, yeah.
He did the Warriors 3
on
comic.
Baxter Paper.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And then he did other books. He did that book with Neil Gaiman. I can't remember what it's called now.
Sandman.
Stardust. He did do a Sandman book. He did do one of them. He did the Hamlet one.
You're right.
So in fact, you know, and he's been around for quite some time. And as well, he's also done. He did some collaborating with Jeff Smith on Bone the Rose.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. That was I saw his name on that because I'm a big Bone fan.
Yeah. So you know, Bone, of course, is big in the cartoon series. But Charles Vess. Go out and meet the guy.
So there's a lot of guys. TCAF is a major event. TCAF is under the radar, and it won't be for a long time, I don't think.
No.
TCAF is something that is non-populist in the sense of the way they approach the show.
Yeah.
But boy, if you go to this thing, you're going to see some incredible top talent.
But you know what's funny is that for years now, they've been bringing in artists internationally, like from Japan or from Spain, and they're getting.
And I'm sure they are here. You and I have just mentioned a few.
Well, this is the beginning of what's
page.
Been being announced, right?
And if you check the website, I'm sure there'll be guys, like you say, international guests from all over.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a fantastic show. And again, what a better price point than free, right?
Oh, I love
you
free.
Know, I love free myself.
Okay.
But, you know, I think we should just talk a little bit about Going on to the Eisner Industry Awards.
Yeah, you're right. And the nominees have been nominated. And that'll be our topic for today. Yep. Our obviously rushed topic, as yeah. it is every week.
Geez, you know what? 5 minutes left. Less than five.
And we were running through the industry news.
But, you know, very quickly, some of the... let's just very quickly talk about some of these categories here. Best...
Chris, hold on. Sorry yes. to interject. That was a poor interjection.
Sorry, it's okay.
Maybe you can explain to the people what the Eisners are.
Oh, okay. Well, so the Eisner Awards ceremonies is, Canada has the Joe Shuster Awards ceremony for the best comic book creators, and the Eisners is sort of the American version. However, it's one of those things, like the Eisners is kind of like the Oscars, where mm-hmm. almost anybody and everybody who's good enough gets nominated, whether you're from Canada or whether you're from the States. It's sort of like an international kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Academy Awards of comic books, really.
Right.
And, of course, it's named after Will Eisner, who coined the term sequential art, who's been around from, the 30s.
Yep.
You know, he's been around for forever, maybe even the 20s, for all I can remember now. But Will Eisner was a great, great comic book artist, a creator of The Spirit.
Yes.
And a co-creator of Sheena, the Jungle Queen. So, he's been around for quite some time now. So the Eisners, as a yearly comic book award ceremony that happens, and
what's the big show?
The San Diego Comic Con.
That's right. San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously, we don't have time to spend a lot of time on it, but I've got a few best graphic novel, new best graphic album, new. The Asteroids Polyp by David Mazzucchelli.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm so good at names.
Yes, that's great. David Mazzucchelli, right?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. The Book of Genesis, illustrated by R. Crumb,
yep.
which was on the New York Times bestseller.
It was, yes,
while.
You're right, yeah.
Richard Stark's Parker, The Hunter,
yep.
adapted by Darwin
Cook.
Yep. You know, these are a couple of the nominees for Best Graphic Album New.
Yes, okay. And, of course, some of the other ones we have here are... best new series, like Chew by John Layman and Rob Guillory. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is, of course, the original novel was by Philip K. Dick,
mm-hmm.
Art by Tony Parker. Now, of course, this is sort of an adaptation of Blade Runner.
Right? That's right.
So,
yes.
But the original book was called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. Irredeemable by Mark Waid. Sweet Tooth by Jeff Lemire. I was finished talking about him. And The Unwritten by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. So there's lots of stuff going on here.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's a category, Best Artist / Writer, which I guess you do both, right?
Yeah.
Darwin Cook is right up there for Starks Parker, The Hunter.
Yep.
R. Crumb is up there again for Book of Genesis. Terry Moore for Echo.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's great.
So, you know,
I know we don't have a whole lot of time here, but I gotta say, I want to talk about two more categories very quickly. We've got Best Single Issue. We've got Captain America is in there for Red, White, and Blue Blood by
yes.
Brubaker and Gene Colan. And, of course, Gene Colan's been around from the 70s, maybe
yes.
even early, late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, his best work was well-known on Tomb of Dracula. And we've got The Ganges by Kevin Huizenga. The Unwritten by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. Yusagi Ujimbo by Stan Saki. I can't believe that comic is still going on.
I know, that's awesome.
That's like 20, 30 years now.
Yeah,
crazy.
Right.
But Best Continuing Series. You know, we talked about Fables earlier today in the show.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Fables is being nominated as Best Continuing Series.
That's excellent.
You know, it's incredible. And, you know, one of our other favorite book that we talk about often is The Walking Dead.
You're right.
Best Continuing Series again. You
wow.
know, like, there must be something about these titles that says that these things are not to be missed.
You're absolutely right. Now... Chris and I are like, we're literally got our sprinting shoes on going through this, and we're not doing it justice.
No.
The Eisners, just again, Google Eisner, the Eisner Awards for the category, or even on comicbookdaily.com, I believe there's a list of the Eisner nominations. There are literally, 30, 40 yeah, categories.
Yeah.
You know, you mean best lettering.
Yeah, best lettering.
Best inking.
Yeah, yeah. Best publication for kids. Best publication for teens.
Best webcomic.
Best short story. It just goes on.
And you know what? The best part about the Eisners, and like the Schusters, which is you're on that committee, is what they do is they magnify, they highlight, they put focus on talent, creative people, creative products, like these things, and they present them with awards, which is great,
As they should, because it is a valid entertainment commodity here that we're talking about. But anyways, you know what? Unfortunately, we're out of time.
That sucks.
Again, please go out and support your local comic book retailer. Have a great day, and thanks for listening. Enjoy your day.
See everyone next week, and don't forget Free Comic Book Day in 3 weeks,
May 1st.